Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
For some years, and for the right candidates, the Southern vote was as regular as pan-fried chicken and field peas, united behind one chosen candidate. This year, though, the menu is a little more diverse, and the customers can't seem to choose one entree. It's Tuesday, March 13th, and this is The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone, and good morning again to my special guest co-host this week, Dan Damon of the BBC, trading places with John Hockenberry, who is filling in for him on the BBC's World Update.
Hi, Celeste. It's a good day for people like me enjoying the primetime drama that is the Republican Party at the moment.
It is quite the show, isn't it? We're going to be talking about that, especially in terms of the splintering of the Deep South first. There are, of course, primaries today in Alabama and Mississippi. But we're going to talk later this hour also about some public schools who are dealing with budget deficits by charging foreign students to attend their schools. Many of you, though, still talking about a story from yesterday in which some guests suggested that people get off their computers, young people get off their computers, and physically move in order to get a job. A listener with the handle Come On posted at our website, kids today are graduating college with more debt and fewer job opportunities than any generation before them. There is a reason more kids are staying home during their 20s, and it doesn't have jack squat to do with the internet. It has to do with the worst economic recession since the Depression. Give us your thoughts at 8778-MY-TAKE, and now let's look at the headlines.
Taliban fighters opened fire this morning on an Afghan government delegation visiting the village in southern Afghanistan, where a U.S. soldier is suspected of killing 16 civilians. Joining us from Kabul, BBC correspondent Bilal Sawari. Give us some more details, Bilal.
Well, the delegation included senior members of the Afghan National Army, the chief of staff, senior members of interior intelligence departments, but also the brothers of the Afghan president, Hamid Karzai. We now understand that one Afghan National Army soldier was killed, three members of the security force were injured, and the gun battle went for 10 minutes after the Taliban insurgents attacked the mosque where the delegation was taking part in a prayer service along with civilians. The Afghan National Security Forces also returned fire, which was coming from at least four directions, according to defense and intelligence officials who were caught in the fighting.
What does this say about the government's control of that part of Afghanistan?
Well, it says that the area is extremely insecure. It also shows that the Taliban are a real threat, not only for NATO, but also for the Afghan government in that part of the country. And remember, this area where the killing took place had been regained both by NATO and Afghan forces, partially regained, I should say, after NATO and Afghan forces had paid both in blood and treasure, and they had urged the villagers to come back because they could be protected from the Taliban. So the most important battle for NATO and for the Afghan government, the battle for hearts and minds, is complicated now, and this incident is seen as a morale booster for the Taliban.
Bilal Sawari in Kabul, Afghanistan.
Republican voters in Alabama and Mississippi, as I said, will go get their chance to choose a candidate for president today, primaries in both of those states. Also, the Justice Department is challenging a voter ID law in Texas. Officials say it could disenfranchise hundreds of thousands of people because they'd have to present a photo ID before they could vote. And a new survey says companies are planning to hire more people this spring. According to the Manpower Group, 10% of employers plan to expand their workforce between April and June. That would be, if it's true, the largest round of new hiring that the survey has seen in more than 3 years. The markets in Asia and Europe are all up. Futures are up on Wall Street as well. The Dow will start at 12,959, the S&P at 1371, the NASDAQ at 2646. Well, optimistic job numbers came out last Friday, and that started a conversation between us and our listeners about how to get a job during the Great Recession. Here's Bill from Oklahoma. He's been steadily employed for 5 years.
I found a long time ago that the service industry will always be there. They'll always need somebody to change a light bulb or to clean out a sewer. And if it means money in my pocket, I'm your man.
Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to thetakeaway.org.